Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. Today we have highlights from the historic impeachment of President Donald Trump and a look at what happens next. We'll have a holiday weather forecast and then updates on a challenge to Lemon Grove's sales tax ballot measure and the city's decision to drop campaign finance charges against a former council candidate. El Cajon's council is cracking down on tobacco sales to minors, but snuffed out a proposed ban on certain vaping products. On Green Scene, hear about a new nature center opened in Santa Isabel. Then we'll have the latest on flu cases and on Destination East County. Hear about top festivals and events coming up this week and early in the new year. On People Power, learn how gifts of computers are brightening the holiday for foster children. And finally, enjoy a performance of Vivaldi's Gloria performed by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra. So stay tuned for the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, where East County matters.
This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report. Donald Trump is now the third president in American history to be impeached. The House of Representatives voted in favor of two articles of impeachment this week on abuse of power and obstruction of justice. San Diego's four congressional Democrats voted in favor of impeachment. Here is Congresswoman Susan Davis's statement on the House floor.
Madam Speaker, make no mistake. We are not impeaching this president. He is impeaching himself. If you are the president and you obstruct justice, try to bribe a foreign leader and threaten national security, you're going to get impeached. End of story.
Our region's only Republican representative, Congressman Duncan Hunter, did not vote on an impeachment because he has been banned from voting by the House Ethics Committee after pleading guilty to conspiracy to spend campaign funds on personal use. He has said he will resign after the holidays. Speaker Nancy Pelosi began the session by stating, "I solemnly and sadly open the debate on the impeachment of the President of the United States. If we do not act now, we would be derelict in our duty. It is tragic that the president's reckless actions make impeachment necessary. He gave us no choice," the speaker said. Dozens of major newspapers ran editorials calling for impeachment, including the New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, San Diego Union Tribune, Los Angeles Times, and even newspapers in conservative areas, such as the Salt Lake City Tribune and the Houston Chronicle. Only one major newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, ran an editorial opposing impeachment. On the eve before the impeachment hearing, rallies were held in cities across the nation calling for impeachment, including one at Parkway Plaza in El Cajon, where hundreds of pro-impeachment supporters turned out and only a handful of anti-impeachment counter-protesters. In a surprise move, Speaker Pelosi announced after the vote that the House will not transmit the articles of impeachment to the Senate or name impeachment managers to present the House case to the Senate until senators determine a process for a trial. Her action came after Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican who is in charge of setting rules for the Senate trial, stated, "I'm not an impartial juror," raising concerns over a biased process. McConnell has further stated that he is in total coordination with the White House counsel's office and that he is, quote, "taking my cues from the president's lawyers." That violates the U.S. Constitution, which requires that senators must take an oath pledging to act as an impartial justice before engaging in an impeachment trial. In addition, McConnell has said he will not call or subpoena a single witness to appear. Thus far, the president has ordered top officials who heard his controversial conversations with Ukraine's president firsthand to defy congressional subpoenas. Republicans have argued that Democrats relied on hearsay evidence, despite Trump, the accused, blocking the key witnesses from testifying. Many witnesses in the House hearing did provide second-hand accounts that confirmed a whistleblower's allegations that Trump withheld military aid needed by the Ukraine to repel Russian forces in order to pressure Ukraine's president to announce an investigation into Hunter Biden. Intelligence officials, ambassadors, and constitutional lawyers all testified, indicating those actions put national security at risk for Trump's personal gain in his effort to discredit rival Joe Biden's son and try to rig the 2020 election. Pelosi voiced serious concerns over McConnell's unwillingness to assure a fair trial. "This is a serious matter, even though the majority leader of the United States Senate says it's okay for the foreman of the jury to be in cahoots with the lawyers of the accused," she said of the impeachment process, Roll Call reports. In a Senate trial, McConnell and Senate Republicans in the majority would set the rules, although Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts would preside over the trial. At a political rally with his supporters right after the impeachment, President Trump said, "I'm not worried," noting that all Republicans and three Democrats voted against impeachment. "The Republican Party has never been so affronted, but they've never been so united as they are right now," he added. Interestingly, back in 2008, Donald Trump, in an interview with CNN's Wolf Blitzer, praised Speaker Pelosi and indicated he felt she should have led the House to impeach President George W. Bush, a Republican, for, quote, lies that he told to start the Iraq War, and yet now it is President Trump accused of not being truthful about his actions involving foreign affairs. The House vote to impeach Trump was the largest vote margin ever to impeach a president. Only two prior U.S. presidents have been impeached, Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton, but the Senate voted against convicting and removing them from office. Johnson prevailed by a single vote. Richard Nixon, who also was accused of cheating to win an election and then obstructing justice to cover up his crimes, resigned after members of his own party informed him they were prepared to vote to impeach and remove him from office. He was later pardoned by Vice President Gerald Ford. Although the Senate is widely expected to not vote for removal down partisan lines, if the Senate does vote to convict President Trump and remove him from office, Vice President Pence would become the next president.
This is Liz Albert with a weather update from East County Magazine. High winds were howling across East County on Tuesday, December 17th, when more than 50 locations recorded wind speeds above 50 miles per hour, the National Weather Service reports. The strongest recorded wind speed Tuesday in San Diego County was at Hellhole Canyon, where a hurricane-force wind gust of 91 miles per hour was measured by an SDG&E weather monitoring station. High winds above 70 miles per hour were recorded in Descanso, Alpine, and several other mountain areas. For the holiday week coming up, be ready for rain December 22nd through 26th. With a possibility of a white Christmas, including snow in some local mountain communities. If traveling over the holidays, be prepared with a fully charged cell phone, umbrella, extra water, food, blankets, and tire change in areas where snow is possible.
A challenge seeking to block the Lemon Grove sales tax initiative on technical grounds won't be heard until February 21st. Too late to keep the measure off the March 3rd, 2020 ballot. But if a judge rules the process was invalid, the vote could later be voided and the sales tax hike would not take effect. The initiative, Measure S, would raise the sales tax by 0.75 cents, from 7.75% to 8.5%. The city is facing serious financial shortfalls with a budget deficit of nearly $1.2 million projected by the end of its fiscal year 2021-22. More than 85% of the city's budget is spent on public safety, police, and fire protection, leaving not enough money for other needs. The initiative would raise an estimated $3 million, supporters say, if the measure is approved by voters and allowed by the court to take effect. But if a judge finds the measure invalid, citizens would have to repeat the signature gathering process and the city would have to incur thousands of dollars in new costs to place the measure on a future ballot a second time. The lawsuit filed by John Wood on behalf of Lemon Grove Neighbors against the lifetime tax contends that the vote yes for the Lemon Grove sales tax group failed to comply with a state election code requirement to publish names of backers. A published notice included only the title and summary of the measure. The initiative backers named in the suit include newly appointed Councilmember Yadira Altamirano, former Councilmember George Gastil, and Jay Bass, as well as Registrar of Voters Michael Vu and City Clerk Shelley Chapel. Gastil has acknowledged the error but said voters were not harmed by the mistake and that their names were on the petition signed by voters, on the city website, social media, and in news articles. The harm to the public would be much greater if this wasn't voted on, Gastil has stated. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
The city of Lemon Grove has dropped its complaint against Teresa Rosiak, which had alleged misdemeanor campaign finance and disclosure violations. Rosiak, a conservative, ran unsuccessfully for the council in 2018. She has been a vocal critic of the council on financial matters and called the charges politically motivated. The Fair Political Practices Commission had already closed its investigation into Rosiak with no disciplinary action before Lemon Grove filed its complaint in court. The city has acknowledged in response to our records request that it has not filed any similar charges against any other candidate in at least the last 10 years. The city has indicated that it dismissed the case against Rosiak due to revamping its codes. The city has acknowledged spending more than $3,000 on the case after Rosiak refused to settle the case for $500. Rosiak says the case is a travesty for the taxpayers of Lemon Grove, calling the money spent to prosecute her frivolous. She says the city refused to provide her attorney with specifics regarding the charges, a right to which anyone charged with a misdemeanor is entitled. Rosiak concludes, "I am so thankful that justice prevailed, and I hope the harassment will cease and desist." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
The El Cajon City Council has voted to increase fines for retailers selling tobacco products to minors, adding teeth to its existing ordinance. Retailers with a second offense within 3 years will now pay a $2,500 fine. A third violation will have a steeper penalty, and a fourth violation within 3 years will result in permanent suspension of the store's business license. But the council voted 3-2 against a proposal by Councilman Gary Kendrick that would have banned flavored vaping products and vaping products disguised as other items that appeal to minors. Council members Steve Goble and Phil Ortiz, along with Mayor Bill Wells, voted against the ban, while council members Bob McClellan and Gary Kendrick voted in favor of the ban. Kendrick's proposal for the ban came after the Cajon Valley Union School District unanimously passed trustee Jill Bartow's proposal to ban the personal smoking devices on district property. The hearing included many speakers for and against the ban. Those in favor cited health concerns linked to vaping, as well as concerns by teachers about vaping products that resemble pens, lipstick tubes, thumb drives, and other common objects brought to campuses by young students. El Cajon would have been the first city in San Diego County to have actually enacted and implemented such a ban. County supervisors voted 3-2 on October 15th to make it illegal to buy or sell flavored vaping products within unincorporated areas of San Diego County. The law puts a 1-year moratorium on the sale of vaping devices and permanently bars flavored nicotine. The county's chief administrative officer is expected to return to the Board of Supervisors in January with more details on how the county expects to enact the ban. Supervisors Greg Cox, Nathan Fletcher, and Diane Jacob voted in favor of that ban, while Supervisors Jim Desmond and Kristen Gaspar voted against the measure. Other cities, counties, and states are taking aim at vaping products. The states of Michigan, Massachusetts, and Los Angeles County supervisors have all recently enacted bans on some vaping products, despite pressure from pro-vaping forces. The ban comes as the rate of teens who are vaping grows, a fact that has triggered warnings from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. In addition, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control warns that in the U.S., 47 sudden deaths have occurred due to vaping, and 2,290 vaping-related serious lung illnesses have been reported nationwide, many of them in young people. San Diego County health officials have reported at least 25 confirmed or probable cases in San Diego County. Products with THC and those with vitamin E acetate have both been tied to sudden onset of lung illness. However, the CDC warns many substances and product sources are being investigated, and there might be more than one cause. Therefore, while the investigation continues, persons should consider refraining from the use of all e-cigarette or vaping products. The CDC also urges smokers not to add any substances to e-cigarette or vaping products that are not approved by the manufacturer. Councilman Kendrick argued that retailers have for years asked to let the industry regulate itself, but that such efforts have proven unsuccessful in El Cajon. Kendrick says, "My responsibility is to keep these extremely dangerous devices out of the hands of our children," adding that there is no reason for vaping devices to be disguised as USB drives or other common object. He called the situation a disaster in the making. But Councilman Goebel said, "I'm concerned about restricting adults' rights to what is a legal product until the FDA says no more." Mayor Wells voiced concerns over taking away freedoms, noting that more people have died from motorcycle accidents and obesity than vaping, yet we don't ban motorcycles or candy bars. While Kendrick said he was disappointed with how his ordinance was turned down by his colleagues, he indicated he may return with a new proposal in the coming months. "We're in a crisis right now with all these kids vaping," he said. "We've got 7th and 8th graders vaping. The schools are asking us to do something about it. We can't stick our heads in the sand." Dana Stevens, Executive Director of Community Action, Service and Advocacy, voiced disappointment in the council failing to protect children by banning certain vaping products. She noted that the White House has backed off its pledge to restrict vaping products, adding, "It is time that we come to revisit the regulations. We've seen other cities all around San Diego County moving in that direction, and the county itself has taken action." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is John Fisteer with a Green Scene Report. County Board of Supervisors, Chairwoman Diane Jacob, environmental groups, tribal representatives, park officials, and hundreds of visitors celebrated the opening of the $9.5 million Santa Isabel Nature Center on December 14th. The celebration began with music, art, information tables, nature crafts, and animals, including alpacas and a rosy boa snake. Next came a ribbon cutting that featured a bird song sung by a tribal performance troupe, and speakers including leaders of environmental groups and the EIPI Nation of St. Isabel. The event ended with a demonstration of hawks and other birds of prey, as well as hiking and tours. Supervisor Jacob told the crowd that the 6,000-square-foot Nature Center and its surroundings showcase the county's great outdoors. "It's the first attraction of its type in San Diego County," Jacob said, "and I think it will be a huge magnet for residents and tourists. It has a lot to offer: educational displays, interactive touch screens, Wi-Fi, electric vehicle charging stations, an outdoor play area, and an amphitheater built into the hillside." Construction of the Nature Center began on April 2018. The site is located on 84 acres of grassland with Engelmann Oaks, off Highway 79, inside the county's 6,347-acre Santa Isabel Preserves. The Nature Center includes ranger offices, a community room big enough to hold parties of up to 99 people, a small service kitchen, a water refilling station for visitors, and an information desk. It also has educational displays with information about local history, habitat, and wildlife. The building itself is environmental friendly. It earned a LEED Gold certification and uses 90 rooftop panels to earn a zero net energy rating, meaning the building will produce more electrical energy than it uses. Outside, in addition to the amphitheater, the center includes nature play equipment made of trees and other natural objects, as well as 2.5 miles of trails for people to enjoy.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health alert. The number of lab-confirmed influenza cases reported locally jumped by nearly 70% in the past week, a sign that flu activity in the region is increasing, the County Health and Human Services Agency announced on December 18th. A total of 489 flu cases were reported in San Diego County last week, 198 more than the previous week. More than 1,700 cases have been diagnosed this year locally, nearly double the rate at this time last year. 7 people have died of flu so far this year. Dr. Wilma Wooten, County Public Health Officer, says this is the time of the season when you start to see influenza activity increase significantly. She advises the public to get flu shots now to avoid getting sick. According to Dr. Wooten, flu vaccination is especially important around the holidays when people stay indoors and gather in large groups, increasing the risk of getting sick. Influenza-like illnesses accounted for 4% of all emergency department visits for the last 2 weeks. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that everybody age 6 months and older get a flu shot each year. It takes about 2 weeks for immunities to develop. Flu vaccines are especially important for people who are at high risk of developing serious complications from influenza. They include people with chronic medical conditions such as asthma, diabetes, and lung disease, as well as pregnant women, the elderly, meaning those over 65, and caretakers. The flu vaccine is available at doctor's offices and pharmacies. If you don't have medical insurance, you can get vaccinated at a county public health center. And for a list of those locations, you can visit SDIZ.org or call 211 San Diego. In addition to a flu vaccine, you can reduce your chances of getting sick by washing hands often, cleaning commonly touched surfaces, and avoiding people who are sick. And if you are ill, please stay home to avoid spreading the flu to others this holiday season.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This week's Destination East County features North Pole Limited Train Rides in Campo, Julian Victorian Christmas Teas, and The Waits live at San Pasquale Winery's Tasting Room in La Mesa.
Plus, we'll have a preview of coming events, including concerts at the Magnolia in El Cajon, a boogie-woogie New Year's party at the Courtyard Marriott in El Cajon, a Roaring Twenties New Year's Eve bash at Viejas, and Open Farm Weekend at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
The North Pole Limited, a special holiday train ride, will run Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays through Christmas at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo. Santa's elves will sing favorite Christmas carols, read a popular Christmas story to young ones, and pass out cookies and hot chocolate to passengers. The North Pole Limited will stop at Santa's workshop to pick up Santa and Mrs. Claus, who will visit with all passengers on the vintage train on its way back to the lighted Campo Depot. Advance tickets are recommended and can be purchased at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at psrm.org.
Julian Tea and Cottage Arts is hosting its 25th annual Victorian Christmas Teas daily during December through December 23rd. The special menu includes finger sandwiches, savories, tea breads, scones with lemon curd and jam, plus seasonal desserts with a pot of tea. There is a special children's menu and special vegetarian or gluten-free items available with advance notice. There are several seating times each day. Reservations are required and can be made at juliantea.com.
On December 28th and again on January 4th at 7 p.m., you can enjoy live music with The Waits at San Pasquale Winery's Tasting Room in La Mesa's downtown village. This acoustic guitar and mandolin duo has a unique blend of folk, bluegrass, country, classic rock, and more. Find details at sanpasqualewinery.com.
The Courtyard Marriott Hotel in El Cajon invites you to a boogie-woogie New Year's Eve party featuring Grammy Award winner Hazel Payne, formerly of Taste of Honey, performing with Ken Meredith and friends. The 10-piece band will bring you the sound of big bands. Guests will also enjoy a buffet dinner, party favors, 2 drinks, live DJ Preacher Man, and MC Gene Harris, formerly of Lights Out Jazz. For tickets to the New Year's Eve party, including overnight lodging at the hotel, call 619-334-6999. You can also visit the Courtyard Marriott Alcohol website for details.
To ring in 2020, Viejas Casino and Resort in Alpine is hosting a Roaring Twenties themed New Year's Eve bash that promises to be the resort's biggest New Year's Eve celebration yet. You're invited to don your flapper dress or Gatsby getup, then choose a package to fit your budget. Festivities will span the ballrooms, pool bar, park, and beyond. For more information, you can visit viejas.com and click on the Entertainment tab.
The Magnolia Center, formerly known as the East County Performing Arts Center, has a variety of shows coming up in the next few weeks. Upcoming performances include folk art legend Art Garfunkel, the Alan Parsons Project, and country music great Winona and the Big Noise. For tickets and the full lineup, visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com or the Magnolia on Facebook.
Oasis Camel Dairy and Ramona invites you to Open Farm Weekend on January 18th and 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. The Open Farm event features a live bird and animal show, camel encounter with treat feeding and petting, camel rides, mini sheeptown petting, and a gift shop with camel milk skincare products, camel milk chocolate, camel fiber products, and some fun camel items for children. You can find details and directions at CamelDairy.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in the calendar and events section at our website, eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or you'd like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show here on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back soon with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Liz Alper with a People Power report. More than 150 local foster families are setting up computers in their homes this holiday season thanks to a collaboration between the County of San Diego and the San Diego County Futures Foundation. The families and children received free computers as part of the 20th Annual Computers for Foster Families program. In addition to 150 desktop devices, the county also gave away more than 25 laptops to young adults in the Extended Foster Care Program. Started in 2001 by Supervisor Greg Cox, the Computers for Foster Families program aims to improve the lives of foster children and their families through the gift of technology. The initiative supports foster families by increasing computer and internet access for some of the region's most vulnerable children. The computers, which were formerly used by county employees, are refurbished by the San Diego County Futures Foundation before they are distributed to foster families.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea. We'll end our show today by letting you enjoy Vivaldi's Gloria, performed by the San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra.
Thank you. Thank you.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.